Welcome to the Belief Breakthrough Show, where we believe that you can achieve the life you dream of simply through shifting your perspective and breaking through your limiting beliefs. With your host, Tina Encarnacion, the author of Stuck in the Fire, a story of resilience, trauma and abuse coach, an energy healer and Reiki master. Welcome, everybody. Thank you so much for coming on today and watching another amazing episode of the Belief Breakthrough Show. Please comment below and let us know where you're coming in from. And feel free to interact with us throughout the show, ask questions, and allow us to answer them. I want to welcome you once again to the show where we believe that simply by shifting your beliefs, you can change your world and achieve anything that your heart desires. My name is Tina Encarnacion. I am an energy healer. I am a trauma and abuse coach, an author, and a motivational speaker, and I am so excited to be here with you today. If you want to learn more about my story, you can purchase my book, Stuck in the Fire, on my website, tinaencarnacion.com, which is below, or on Amazon and Kindle. I would love to share my story with you, but that is another episode because today we have an amazing woman on the show with us today. She has been through the fire. She has made it out the other side, and she has chosen to take what she has learned and share it with others to inspire change in your life. We have Lois here with us today, and she is a survivor. She is a warrior, and she is an amazing teacher. And so she's going to share with us today her story, what she's gone through, and how she managed to make it out the other side and survive. So please, Lois, go ahead and tell us more about your story.
Hi, Tina. Hi, everyone. Thank you so much, Tina, for this opportunity. It's a fabulous platform. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, breaking through to the other side to become that warrior, the first thing is you got to know what you want. So it's a matter of understanding where you are, self-awareness, before you can take that progression into your future, into your beautiful, wonderful, broken through future. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I had a dysfunctional childhood with a lot of alcohol and violence. I was told I was clever, but I was always told study was no good. I should just go and become a secretary, sit on my boss's knee, marry my boss. and so that was sort of my belief system at the time. And I got married, a wrong choice in a marriage, got divorced. But I had this ambition, this career. I was going to build a career because my father said, you know, I must just marry my boss. And I was going to show him that I could be more than the wife of the boss. And so I built a career, and I was successful in my career. It was a career in marketing. And then I progressed into consulting. And I moved, I'm South African. I was brought up in Johannesburg. And then I moved to Cape Town, where I started, for some unknown reason, a digital printing business. And I was in a 50% partnership in that business. And I was working late one night. It was just before New Year. My partner has gone on leave, and I was finishing a job. I won't explain the detail of the job, but I was working very late at night, two nights in a row, to finish this job. And it was a beautiful, wonderful evening. I was sitting outside in the little secure courtyard, playing music and doing the work that I needed to do. And I was attacked. Some man jumped over the wall. It was an 8-foot wall. He jumped over the wall. He attacked me. I fought. I unfortunately didn't fight well enough or strong enough. And this man raped me and left me for dead. Well, I survived. And I did survive. And it's quite a convoluted story and a long story, and I don't want to bore you with all the details of it. But there was a secondary fallout from that, because as a result of that, my business partner betrayed me, and the business went into liquidation. And through his betrayal, he walked away from the liquidation financially free of any debt, and the entire debt landed on me. So there was years and years of financial struggle to overcome this. And one of the things I did was I wanted to change the world. This was such a terrible thing that had happened to me, and it was wrong, and why did it happen? And the law was wrong, because the man who raped me was out on parole. He was out on bail from a previous rape. And I just thought, the law sucks, this is terrible, and I've got to go out and make a change. And so I became an activist, and I lobbied, and I led marches through the streets, and I had petitions going. And everybody was so proud of me, and I was proud of me. I was so strong, and I was so brave, and I went through changing the world, and I was going to start a business to change the world and to empower women. And it was quite a journey, and there were ups and downs, and it was really quite a traumatic experience. And if you look at the grief cycle that they speak about, I went through all of those emotions at some point or other. But the worst was, you know, they talk about the self-blame and the guilt. And I never had that. I never felt, if only I hadn't been working late, and if I knew how to fight or whatever. I didn't have any of those guilt feelings. But about 2 years after the incident, I one day woke up. I couldn't get out of bed. I was completely debilitated. My legs just wouldn't hold me up. Went to doctors, had MRI scans, and they said I had to have a back operation. And I had a back operation, and it failed. 2 weeks later, I had another back operation, and it failed. And I was bedridden for 6 months. And it was my wonderful sister. She's unfortunately left this earth now. She one day told me that it was all in my head. There was nothing wrong with me, that it was all psychosomatic. Because what was happening during my activism after the rape, I was so bold and I was so strong, and everybody was saying, "Yay, Lois, you're so strong, you're so brave, and look at me, look how good I am." And because I hadn't really faced the trauma of what had happened to me, I hadn't really dealt with it, what happened is I was putting everything behind me. I wasn't facing it until eventually my back said, "Time out," and my back collapsed. And what happened was, I lay in bed, and there I was pathetic and weak, and everybody was saying, "Oh, poor Lois, you saw," and I had all those wonderful empathy, well, I had the empathy after the rape, but I was strong then. Here I was weak, I was helpless, and everybody was running and fetching and carrying and doing everything for me. So why get better? This was so nice. And so I lay in bed debilitated for months and months, until my sister made me realize what had happened. And I went for 8 chiropractic treatments. The surgeon had told me that I would never, I was a keen hiker and scuba diver, and the surgeon had told me that I would never hike or scuba dive again because I could never carry anything on my back. 8 treatments later, I did a 5-day hike with a 29-kilogram backpack.
Wow.
And that is the power of the mind and the power of belief and just knowing that you can do something. Mm-hmm. And so my life has been on this journey. And then I left the country. I left South Africa. I went to work in the Middle East. I worked as a trainer and coach, a leadership and management trainer and coach for. And I was away for a year, and I was coming home for my first holiday back to South Africa. And the rapist had been given a 25-year sentence. And I was coming back, and the law in South Africa had just changed. It had changed, allowing what they call victims of crime to attend parole hearings and make representation about the parole. And I contacted the authorities, and they told me that this rapist's parole hearing was the day after I arrived back in South Africa. Mm-hmm. And it just didn't make It was just too much of a coincidence. And I went to the parole hearing and I forgave the rapist.
Wow.
And that has led me to where I am today, because I believe that forgiveness is the ultimate thing to achieve freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And it gave me unbelievable freedom. And so that's what I work with. I work with people. And I think the bottom line is freedom, forgiveness doesn't come when you're still in that hatred and those first phases of victimhood, when you hate and you're angry and you're depressed and all of those emotions. You can't even consider forgiveness. But due to the progression, we all go on a journey and we progress from that victim into survivor, into thriver, and finally into freedom. And you got it. You forgive when the time is right for you to forgive. And I want to help people not wait for, it took me 14 years. I would like people to get there a lot sooner than 14 years, because it really is, you know, I'm just rattling on, stop me. When I left the prison that day, the authorities said to me they would tell me within 7 days if the rapist got parole or not. And to this day, I still cannot explain that emotion and that experience. I just looked at them and I said, no, you won't tell me. They said, what? And I said, no, because it has nothing to do with me. You know what forgiveness does? It breaks that bond. It breaks that tie. And I just said, well, I don't know. I don't want to know. I don't care. It has nothing to do with me. He has his own burdens to carry, and he has to live with what he has to live with. But I was free of it. And that's the
beauty. Absolutely amazing. Yes. Now, you said something that piqued my interest. the first thing, let's go to forgiveness first. Because you said that forgiveness frees you. And I truly believe it does. Because if you are holding bitterness and resentment towards someone, you are imprisoned in that time, imprisoned in that space. And it is a choice to forgive, right? And so what thought process were you going through in your mind when you were seeing your attacker face to face in prison with the opportunity of getting released early that allowed you to make the choice to forgive?
You know, it didn't even cross my mind that he was going to be released early or not. It wasn't about him at all. And you know, I'd done research and I'd done work on it before I got to the prison. Somebody had said to me, I must forgive. And I think, what? I'm not going to forgive. How can I forgive this man who ruined my life? And I prepared this whole speech and this whole statement, not really knowing that I was going to do it. But in the moment, I looked at this pathetic individual and I looked at him and I thought, why is he ruining my life? Why am I holding this resentment and this hatred and this anger for this little man that I don't even know? And I'm hurting. Look at him. He's all right. He's maybe hurting. I don't know what he was going through. But it had nothing to do with me. And so it wasn't even a thought process. It was just a why? Why am I doing this? Why am I in pain now? Mm-hmm. 40 years later, why am I doing this?
So, yeah, you are almost allowing yourself to be a victim again, because not only did he come and sexually assault you and create a victim out of you at that point, but you were allowing this man to hold power over you still for 14 years. Yeah. That's amazing. When you really think about it, how you literally, you're not holding them accountable. They're living their life completely, not even thinking about you ever, but you have given them so much power by holding that anger and resentment. And I think that's the power of forgiveness, is you are no longer giving them control or power over you. You are saying, I'm taking that back and I'm going to be free from you. So.
And then there is the secondary part of it, is that maybe my forgiveness helped him as well.
Yes, I do believe that, that every time you forgive someone, you're not only taking your power back, but you're also helping them heal as well.
And whether I helped him or not really doesn't matter, because it was about me, but maybe it helped him and that would be a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Allow him to heal, maybe not hurt the next person. Right.
Yeah.
So when you were bedridden for 6 months, let's talk about that, because it was your sister who said it's all in your head. And I'm sure you could have taken that statement from your sister and just turned it into another way to victimize yourself. But you chose to listen to her. I do truly believe, and I teach this to all of my clients, that if you stuff your emotions and you do not address them, they will first warn you emotionally with anxiety, depression, anger, resentment. And if you ignore that warning sign, then your body will go into physical crisis and shut down on you the way that it did for you, the way that it did for me. So with me growing up, I was born into a family that basically at birth handed me these buckets of ancestral pain and trauma and abuse because my parents didn't know how to handle it themselves. And so for 18 years while I was under their roof, I was dealing with all of the trauma and abuse from generations prior to me and then from my parents as well. And so at 18, when they finally kicked me out of their home, I developed achalasia, which is an esophageal condition, and my body literally starved itself to death and I almost died. I had to have 30 surgeries to stay alive. At that time, obviously, I was young and immature and I didn't know anything that I know now. But what I've learned through my studies is my esophagus shut down because I had stuffed all of my emotion, all of my pain, all of the words I wanted to speak up for myself. I had swallowed them. And they literally caused my esophagus to close, similar to carrying all that pain in your back and trying to fight to ignore the damage that had been done to you, caused you to no longer be able to walk. It caused me no longer to be able to swallow. And so going back and forgiving my parents for all the pain that they handed me, forgiving the men that had abused me, forgiving even God for taking my daughter from me, it allowed me to be able to reopen my esophagus and be able to live again. And so you and me, different scenarios, but similar situations where we allowed trauma, suppressed trauma, ignored trauma to cost us our lives almost. But through the power of healing and forgiveness, we've been able to regain it.
And the body certainly speaks a mind, you know. We have to listen to our bodies. And with you, with your esophagus as well, you were not expressing what you were feeling. You weren't getting the words out that you needed to get out.
Yeah.
It's very powerful. And we tend to repeat the same negative patterns until we have that breakthrough, until we learn that lesson that we are supposed to learn. And we go through the same or similar kinds of experiences until we, wake up.
Yes.
Do something with it.
Absolutely. I don't know how many times I've heard people say, like, they'll be in a bad relationship and they'll say, I broke up with this guy. And then they go and they find this new guy and they're in love with this new guy. But the new guy is the same guy from the past relationship, but a different skin. They're just repeating the cycle, right? And like you said, you have to learn that lesson. I am a firm believer that we are on this earth to learn lessons, grow, and develop, right? And if you're not learning the lesson, you're just going to be on the spin cycle. You're going to be on repeat until you finally figure it out and it clicks. And then you grow and you expand that knowledge. And then you go to the next lesson. So,
you know, some of my lessons weren't quite as serious. Yes, but the lessons were there and I was ignoring them because I started living quite a high risk life. Mm-hmm. And I did things like in my scuba diving, I got washed out to sea and I had to be rescued by a fishing trawler. I was parachuting and I got drifted 5 kilometers off the drop zone. And I kept doing these dangerous things and doing them badly. Until suddenly something said, now wait a minute, take control, you know, learn this lesson and get on with it, you know. And it's a matter of dealing with those emotions. dealing with what happened with the violence and alcohol in my childhood, dealing with a husband that left me, with a partner that betrayed me. And it's about sitting with those emotions and actually accepting them. And yes, I'm angry. And yes, I hate or I'm depressed. But so often we say, well, get over it. And we get over it on a surface level. And we're not digging down to a subconscious level. And it resides there until something triggers it and brings it back again. And so we have to have that something that gets us to move beyond
right
that experience.
So what do you recommend with your client? Because you're a coach, correct?
Yeah.
You're a coach. So when a client comes to you and you see them on that spin cycle, repeating the similar experiences, but not getting the lesson, how do you help guide them and lead them to understanding those lessons so that they can grow and move on?
The first thing is that they have to acknowledge what happened. You know, mm-hmm. so often, well, whatever. Acknowledge it and then break the incident away from the feeling, from the emotion, because we lump them together and we get confused. What is a feeling? What is real? What really happened? The incident is one thing and how you react and feel to it is another. So you need to break the two apart. And then once you've done that is to say, what are those emotions? What are those feelings that you are feeling, and accept them? Yes, I'm angry. Yes, I hate. Yes, I'm anxious, whatever it is. There's no right or wrong emotion. Whatever you're feeling is what you're feeling. And it's a matter of accepting that feeling and not just bringing it under the carpet. It's sitting with it and saying, okay, what is this doing to me? How am I feeling about it? And just, I say, rate it on a scale. You know, how intense is this emotion? You know, when I was raped, the emotion was of hatred was 10. When my partner betrayed me, the hatred was 10. When my husband left me, it was maybe an 8. You know, it's a matter of finding that rating and say, okay, that is how I feel, and that's right. That is how I feel, and then looking for an alternative feeling, and slowly bringing that rating down to a less intense rating. By finding replacement emotions. And it's a process, and there's little techniques that one can use to get there. And you do get there, and you know, people laugh about it, but the whole creative visualization, the law of attraction, when you really feel what you would like to be, how you would like to be feeling, and get yourself into that frame, you can start progressing away from the negative emotions.
Yeah. What are some of your favorite tools to work yourself away from the negative emotions?
You know, I have many, but there are so many tools out there. You know, there's probably 1,000 different tools and techniques, and each one is going to be different for each person because our journeys are different. Uh-huh. We might have had the same physical experience, but how we heal, the journey is different. And you go through I love some of the mind-body techniques. Body talk is one of them, and family constellations is another. Those are some of the, what people say, the woo-woo ones. but those techniques really, really work, because it's about getting into your memories, getting into your subconscious, and self-awareness, understanding who you are and how these things are impacting on you. And you refer to your family's history as well, bringing that into the equation. So in the immediate situation, there's always just the mindfulness, be present, deep breathing. Those are quick, easy techniques that you can use to cope with the situation as you're in it. But as you go on the healing journey, some of you want traditional therapy, psychotherapy. Some of you might need hypnosis, tapping. I don't know. Tapping is
a very powerful
technique. There's hundreds. I've actually I'm blown by the number of techniques, and then people keep inventing new techniques as well. But I work very much on a more logical level. I say, let's think about it. How's it serving you? How is this emotion serving you? What are the benefits of it? Because there are benefits to being sad and depressed and angry. There are benefits. So look at the benefits and then look at how those emotions are harming you. Mm-hmm. And then just change them. And you can change them by using this intensity process, believing, change of dialogue. I like the concept of refocus, reframe, and redirect. So you say, okay, this is what it is. As with a camera, you refocus, get a different lens, put a different lens on it and look at it from a different angle. And then say, okay, well, where can I change this now? How can I change the direction of this? And it doesn't have to take long. But there's no right or wrong length as well in your healing journey. You know, it took me 14 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It takes some people 2 days. So it really is your own journey. And I think that's the lesson I teach people, that whatever you do is okay. It's your journey. Yeah. But also to know that you're not alone. A very powerful technique for me is to write and to share your story. Now, mm-hmm. I went public with my story. Not everybody will or want to go public, but tell somebody, tell your therapist, tell your best friend. And if you don't have somebody you can tell, tell your dog or your cat. But by getting it out there, you're diluting the intensity of it and you're sharing it with the universe. And the universe mm-hmm. starts taking some of that pain away.
Mm-hmm.
And to know that you're not alone. There are groups, social media today, there's so many groups, there are so many people, there's coaches, there's people like you out there who can support and find what works for you.
Yeah, most definitely. I love that. So for me also, journaling was extremely important. And in fact, I turned my journal into my book, Stuck in the Fire. And it's amazing how when you share your story, your personal story, you're willing to be vulnerable and raw with others the way you just were with us, how that simple moment of sharing is able to impact hundreds of thousands of people to begin to start their healing journey as well. And like you said, your journey is your journey. It's your own length. It took me 8 years after my daughter died before I finally accepted that I had lost my daughter. And it's amazing how hard you run from pain instead of having to just deal with it and begin to heal that open wound. And so for those listeners out there that are listening, if you are struggling with something right now, if you are running from something and not dealing with it, I want you to know, like Lois said, you are not alone. There are groups out there. There is so much out there to help you begin to heal. And another thing that she mentioned was her physical ailments. If your body is starting to have issues, it doesn't have to be something like Lois, where she was paralyzed and on bed rest for 6 months. It doesn't have to be something as severe as myself. It can simply be high blood pressure. It could be depression. It could be anxiety. That is your body saying, stop running. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. Listen to me and go within and start working on fixing it. Now, I'm sure, Lois, you can definitely vouch to this. When you start on that healing journey, it's painful. It is not easy having to go within and relive those situations so that you can begin to heal the wound. But you already said it has, but your life has improved since you've taken the time to relive that wound and allow it to begin to heal itself. How has your life changed since you've allowed yourself to heal?
Well, it's changed so much, but my story is slightly different to most people's because I went straight away. And I mean, within weeks, I was out there lobbying and becoming an activist. So, and then only after that, I went down, you know, because the journey is like this. It's not a linear journey. Mm-hmm. You're up and down and back and forward. So I was so strong, and then I fell down afterwards. So it took me that while to heal, to completely heal. And I can say I've completely healed, that forgiveness was the final step. But the fact is now that I'm at a point, I talk about, well, we talk about a growth mindset and a benefit mindset. The growth mindset is where you continue to learn and grow and get stronger. And then the benefit mindset is where you start giving back. And whilst we all still have to make a living, I do what I do and give back to the community, give back to individuals. I help wherever I can to help people understand their journey and to move through their journey. Mm. And I think so many of us, as everyone calls us survivors, I don't like the word survivor, because survivor means struggle. Mm. And we've moved beyond, you and I have moved beyond survivor. Mm-hmm. And so the term thriver is thrown around, warrior, mm-hmm. warrior expression, a warrior is a good expression. But let's just call it survivors. As survivors, when we start giving back, that's when we find that we've truly healed.
Mm. Yes. Yes. I like to say that I take people from victimhood to survivor, and then from survivor to warrior, because there's definitely a difference. Like you say, survivor, you're still struggling. A survivor, you've made it through it, but you're still, there's still residual, right? Kind of like an onion, you peel a layer back from an onion and there's still residual from the last layer on the current layer, right? And so as a survivor, you're no longer in crisis, but you're still dealing with the mental anguish of the trauma, right? And so you're safe, but you're still mentally not 100% there. And then to transition to a warrior has gone through the healing process and has seen the light and has understood the reason why they had to go through that fire and has come out like a phoenix rising from the ashes and says, okay, now who can I help? That's a warrior. A warrior has made it through it, has healed, and has said, now how can I help? And that's what's so important to realize is we go through these trials. We go through these struggles, not to hurt us, not to harm us, but to teach us and grow us and strengthen us so that we can reach down into the depths of despair where others are going through the same thing that we have gone through and do not see the light, so that we can help shine the flashlight for them and guide them through the path to find that ultimate healing. And it's amazing that there are people that are willing to turn back around and go back down into those depths and pull those people up and help them out. And so I love this show. I love this platform because I get to speak to those warriors. I get to speak to those selfless individuals that say, I was there and I will go back to help you out because there is a way out and you need to come out of that. Even when you can't see through all of the darkness, there are people in this world that will selflessly go into it to help you out. And that's why I love the Belief Breakthrough Show, because it is literally teaching you to shatter those glass ceilings, to shatter those limiting beliefs, to help you to understand and realize that one, you are not alone, and two, life is not over. You have a long way to go. You can't give up yet. Let's shift those beliefs and let's create the life that you dream of, because it is so possible. It is so possible. So what have you done, Lois, with your clients to help inspire others to reach that life of abundance?
Well, it's just a matter of letting them, holding a mirror up to them to say, look at yourself, look at where you want to be, and just let's work through the process. Just believe in yourself. Believe that you can get there. You know, if you talk about the ABCs of resilience and grit, it's the A is the accept, and B is belief, and C is the consequences. Understand the consequences. If you don't accept, you can have negative consequences. And when you do accept, you can get positive consequences. And then the D is the debate, the dialogue. Change the narrative, change mm-hmm. the story. Write a better outcome to your story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then for me, I've added the E as the energize, and then F is the forgiveness. And
yes,
for me, that's the ultimate, to get to the forgiveness.
For sure.
Whatever it is, whatever the trauma is, you know, it could be a slight, it could be an argument, it could be a mistake that somebody's made. It's also self-forgiveness. Forgive yourself mm-hmm. for your decisions and the things that you said or did or didn't do.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, forgiveness is the ultimate.
It's the key, right? I like to say that your perception is your reality. If you don't like your reality, change your perception. Yeah. I mean, yeah. That truly is what it is. You can sit there and you can tell yourself that story of negativity and victimhood, or you can shift it and change that story into positivity, empowerment, and encouragement. The choice is yours. Life is choice. That's all it is. You've got to choose. Do I want to be miserable or do I want to be happy? Do I want to sit where I'm at or do I want to change my reality? And you are choosing to be wherever you are at today. It is a choice. And so if you are wanting to change, the only person stopping you is you, right?
Yeah.
So
it's all here.
Absolutely. Yes. So one last thing for me to ask, what are three pieces of gold you would give to our viewers that would help them shift their perspective and eliminate their limiting beliefs so that they can move forward in their lives?
Number one, learn that forgiveness is not about condoning or accepting what the other person has done. It's not about saying they don't need to be punished or there's no judgment. Forgiveness is entirely about you. It's about how you go forward in your life and how you can break yourself, break the bonds that are tying you to that incident or to that person or that situation. And for me, that really is the ultimate. Sure, there's the resilience, and the resilience is what I call bouncing back. So resilience is getting yourself back to where you were, and that is about having persistence and optimism. And then the grit is bouncing forward into a new future. So it's about finding what it is you want to achieve. It's about creating that vision of the future, focusing on your aspirations and working towards them.
That's beautiful. Thank you so much. So, Lois, where can people find you if they want to work with you and help have you help them get out of their own heads so that they can achieve the life that they desire?
Okay, well, my name, Lois Wagner. There's loiswagnercoaching.com, my webpage. I also have another one called Walking Without Skin, which people might find easier to remember. And that is the title of my book. I wrote my book, I started writing it as a journal, and this year it's going to reach publication. It should have reached publication 20 years ago, but it hasn't. But you can find me on Walking Without Skin on social media, on Facebook. But Lois Wagner, you'll find me on my web, or my email is lois@loiswagnercoaching.com. And I also have a free e-guide called Ignite Your Passion, Get Your Mojo Back. So how you can keep happy and get your mojo back, so people can write to me and I can give them that.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. So I want to thank all of you guys again for hopping on and sticking with us through this episode of the Belief Breakthrough Show. If you have not yet liked and subscribed to the channel, please do that and press the bell at the top of the page so that you will not miss any more episodes of this amazing show. We are every Monday and Wednesday at 7 p.m. Pacific time. And if you want to be part of a community of like-minded people that are currently going through the fire or have been through the fire and changing their lives and empowering themselves to live the life they desire, please join my Facebook group, Women Empowered to Heal. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode. Thanks again, Lois, for coming on and We will talk to you guys shortly. See you in the next one.
Thank you, Tina.
Thank you. Much.